want to thank God for this opportunity. So grateful to God for this very opportunity. In 2002, the Lord brought me close to Mama Nita when she came to Nigeria. This team of intercessors, Shayo and Odi, were also part of that very team. And we met, we had a gathering at the Redemption Camp. Very few intercessors. It's not about the crowd. That gathering gave birth to the president that was to rule Nigeria for that year. The Lord did a lot of things, but long and short of it all, it was a great moment of my challenge. I was just coming out of a ministry that the Lord released me from. It was a very difficult time. I was used, abused, oppressed. And I understand the Lord allowed me to go through that so that I can have some level of brokenness. But when Mama will pray over me, she spoke some word. The Lord gave her some words she spoke over me. Powerful words from the Lord. And to the glory of God, every word she spoke in the last few decades all came to pass. And I'm grateful. And when we talk about a mother in Israel, she is a mother in Israel. I know that. Thank you, Mom. And I have my wonderful sister that Nita Jr. would call Auntie Nita. You know, I was making jest with Carrie, and I said, "Where is Auntie Ricky?" She would laugh. But that's what Nita Jr. calls you. But she's a grandma. I want to be a grandfather. Glory to God. There are some blessings that only age can give. No matter what you do, no matter how you pray, it's only age that can give you the blessing of a grandparent. Hallelujah. And I also want to thank all of you who have been standing with us in Africa, Nigeria, praying through for what we all have been going through. It's quite a great moment of challenge. there's a serious genocide going on in Nigeria. It's very few that has been reported in the media. But the one that happens at the background is so terrible. And I know that the God in whom we serve will perfect all that concerns Nigeria. What the enemy is doing is a battle for the souls and the destiny of Nigeria. Because according to God's program for Nigeria, Nigeria is a trigger point to the rest of Africa for evangelism and the last day's visitation of God upon the nations of Africa. And so if he can crush through Nigeria and Islamize Nigeria, the rest of Africa will be run over. I really, really want to thank you for standing with us, for praying with us, for crying with us, and of recent we've been seeing the hand of God moving and upturning some things. The Lord reward you for your labor of love. Thank you. And I also want to appreciate all of you who have stretched your hand to bless me in respect of what is ahead of me. I'm grateful. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, if ye love one another, ye are my disciples indeed. Thank you for showing me this love. I'm so overwhelmed. The Lord bless you. Thank you. For my prayer for all of you, that the Lord will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. In Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Briefly, we want to share what the Lord place in my heart to share tonight. I want to be talking on angels in prayer warfare. And why? Because there are some things God want to accomplish tonight within this short moment we will be praying together. Angels in prayer warfare. Why angels? Some time ago, if you remember, we were talking about Satan and demons. And it was so awesome. God gave his angels to minister with us and for us that are heirs of salvation. Why will the Lord give or release angels for us? It's because There are some things we might not be able to do with our own strength. But the Lord releases them to help us. Now, let me go to the background where I came from. The great grandfathers who served idols in Africa, they have a way of dealing with the prince and the powers in their generation. When a child is born, they take that child to the family idol. Pour water or wine, break kola nuts, do some little rituals, pour libation, and then began to chant and pray and dedicate that child to the idols. And by doing that, they legally invite demons to take over the life of that child. And so as they invite those demons into that meeting, they dedicate that child to the family idols. And then tells the demons what to do with the life of the child, to protect the child, to help the child to live, and to program the life of that child for how long he was going to exist on earth. Because they were ignorant and they don't understand the implication of what they do. Because directly, that child, when he is given over to demons, the first thing they do is to begin to reprogram the life of that child. And then seize the glory and the destiny of what that child should become. And eventually destroy that child. As he grows up, whatever the desire that that child should be, they influence that child and use that child for their evil purposes. That's why when we have this understanding that when you give birth to a child as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, you dedicate that child to God. And when you dedicate that child to God, God will also release angels called the guardians angel to take over the life of that child. And I tell you, every child you dedicate to God, the Lord takes over that child. It does not matter how far he moves away from God, the Lord will have a way of pulling that child back. So when we give our life to Jesus and he washed us with his blood and sealed us with the seal of the Holy Spirit, he releases angels to go with us, to walk with us, to minister to us. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says they are ministering spirit assigned to us because we are heirs of salvation. And so by heaven command, the Lord delegates them to assist us. And when you read in Psalms 91, verse 11, it says, the Lord has given his angels charge over us to keep us in our ways. Psalm 34 verse 7 also says, there's the angel of the Lord encamped round about the righteous. And also those that fear him, reverentially fear him. So they are there to help us, to assist us, and to also fight our battles. Some few years ago, I was traveling from Abuja to one of the rural communities for a meeting in December. It was a very tough time. And I was driving. Ricky, you remember our yellow bus? I was driving. A journey that should take me 6 hours took me 4 days. And what happened? The enemy came out fighting to attack us on that journey. The engine, as I was driving, the engine began to smoke. And I had to pop, open the bonnet to see what was happening, to discover that the engine oil had spilled out all over the engine. And I said, okay, probably let me move it further to the next village and see if I'll be able to get some help. It refused to move. And what do? I already have some team, some group of believers who were also going with me in that journey. And I was like, let me do something quickly. Ran back to Abuja and try to get those that will help me fix it. They came, did all they need to do. They couldn't finish it that day. They continued the following day. And when they were through the following day in the evening, I was determined. I said, I must get through. And I began the journey again. Then we got to a place. Why we got to this place? That should be about 10 p.m. I was driving. Before we got to that place, I've escaped 2 accidents. One was that this huge lorry came on headlong, and I knew that was Satan on assignment. If we can break down this vehicle, we can stop him from going to where he's going to. But if we can't stop this vehicle, let's try to crush him out of the way. And while we're driving through, I was driving through, I got very close to a community about probably 300 meters close to a community. Suddenly, I had a terrible noise from the engine again. Boom! And the vehicle stopped. After 10 p.m., everywhere was dark, no light. I said, what do we do? I said, everybody come down from this bus and let's see how we can push. Because we had our crusade equipment also inside the bus. I stood by the vehicle about to push, and I saw somebody who rode a bike and came close and then parked the bike. I said, oh, sorry, you have some prices here. I said, yes. He said, no, this place is a terrible place. You don't have to stay here for too long because armed robbers and terrible guys can come here to rob you off. So, let's push this vehicle from here. And then everybody came out and we began to push the vehicle. And he said, look up. He said, look at that light up there. I said, yes. He says, when you get to that light, you turn by the right. He said, try to push the vehicle into that compound. He said, when you get there, there's somebody in the other compound that will help you. I never knew this man from Adam. He said, he speaks the same local dialect with you, local language with you. He says, as you get into that compound, he will help you. And then he began to push. As we climbed the hill and we're descending the hill, I had to jump into the bus to control. And slowly, he was still with us. And then when I was about to turn the vehicle to the direction, he said, and he began to walk away. I noticed that the bike he came with at the point where he was helping us to push was there. He never went back to pick the bike. But he was moving forward. And I said, sir, thank you for helping us. But what's your name? He said, don't bother. That's strange. I said, please, what's your name? He said, don't bother. And then he walked away. He never went back. And then he got, as he was going, suddenly he disappeared into the air. And then I understood that the Lord sent his angel to assist us. I got into my compound like he said. And I spoke my local language. I said, who is here? And he responded, I am here. Who are you? And I told him all the ordeals we've gone through. And he said, oh, come, come, all of you, come, come, come. He left his room and asked all of us to stay there overnight. That was the angelic assistance. So God releases his angels to assist his children in the times of difficulties. And he also gave each church that truly called upon the name of the Lord an angel to watch over them. So, angels are there to help us, to assist us, and sometimes to do what we can do for ourselves. But there are times that they engage in some battles that your physical eyes do not see. And sometimes the Lord might open your eyes to see how they fight. But when they fight, it is a terrific fight. You know, when we're growing up, we're deceived in the with some little wings and that flies as a baby angel, which is not true. There are no baby angels. In 2001, I had a meeting. It was a tough meeting. I was pastoring a church in a city, in Ibadan, where Mama, Ricky, and all the team came in 2003. After this meeting, I came so exhausted and lay down on the bed. I said, let me take some rest. While I lay down, boom, the Lord just opened my eyes. And I saw almost 15 feet tall, standing. Wow. Angel. He wasn't smiling, but he stood and was watching. And the beauty of it, I slept off. So, there are guardian angels, but not baby angels. You know, David prayed some prayers in some tardified when he was dealing with some enemy that came against him. He says, let the angel of the Lord pursue my enemy like a chaff before the wind. He said, let their ways be slippery and darkened. He said, let the angel of the Lord persecute them. That's the prayer of the psalmist. Angels can go all the way through to assist us. But sometimes we also need to activate them in the place of prayer and confession. When God will want you to walk in unity with them as a teammate, there are some things you need to do for them to proceed into the battle arena. And one of them is, like the Bible will say in Psalm 103, it says, bless ye the Lord, ye his angel, from verse 22. For they excel in strength and they keep his commandment. And so we've got to understand that angels, they don't take order from you, but they take order from the Holy Spirit. They excel in strength because they obey the word of the Lord to do what they are commanded to do at a particular time. Listen, they are not assigned to you to just do some work for you as your houseboy. If not, and I believe probably the Lord did not place that restriction, we will abuse it. Come on, angel. tired. You go fix my meal. You know what I'm talking about? When, like Pastor King Flack, as a military personnel, when you have an orderly, what do you do? When you have a bodyguard, you tell your bodyguard what he should do for time. The day he sleeps, he will sack him. If the Lord had not placed some restriction, we probably would have been abusing our angels. Thank God that it's not everybody that we're given a spiritual sight to see them always. And listen, they're not here for you to worship them. The only one you're to worship is the Lord God Almighty and not the angels. As a matter of fact, they detest human beings worshiping them. It's only Satan and demons that takes the worship of human beings. A true angel of the Lord will never take worship from you. They will point you to the Lord God Almighty. So I just have to say all of this to lay a foundation to where we are going. We are traveling together. So angels are powerful. They come in their size and stature. And they are prepared specifically for some specific assignment. And when it pleases the Father, like we do here, if it pleases the Father to release them, He releases them. But most importantly, let me say this, that they only obey the word of God in your mouth, not your world. Because the Bible says, they obey His will and keep His commandment. So we need to understand that. Angel, come and fight for me. Angel, come and do this. No. When you declare the scriptures, we stand to it. Because that is the word of the Lord. And they are duty bound to keep it. To make sure it doesn't fall to the ground. David stood before Goliath and said, this is your big head. Today, the God of Israel will put this your big head into my hand. Cut you in pieces and give you over to the belts of the air. And at that point, I believe the Holy Spirit will say, the angel of Israel, make sure that none of the word of this little boy falls to the ground. I'll get to that later. So, why do I have to go all the way to travel this? Just need for us to understand that when God means business, He does not win back. He has special forces that He will release to accomplish the thoughts of His heart. But at the same time, the Lord also depends on you and I to take our position and then walk in unity. And then He releases these angels into the battle arena. when God is battling a reformation in any nation, or reformation that has to do with his eternal program, Satan will always do whatever he can if it is possible to stop it. And I give us a history. When Jesus was born in a manger, the wise men saw the star, and they went after the star, and they came to Jerusalem to find out what exactly this was all about. Eventually, they found out the boy, and the first went to Herod, right? And he called some of his elders. They told him about Jesus. And then, when the wise men saw Jesus, what happened? They blessed him. Instead of going back to Herod, like he said, they never went back. And Herod became angry. Thank God for praying parents who can hear God. Take this child and go to Egypt, for they are seeking to destroy him. And then Joseph and Mary left to Egypt. But because Herod never knew which of the child, he ordered that every child that were born 2 years to that time should be destroyed. The children were massacred. It was so horrible. That was Herod the grandfather. The Lord spoke to Joseph and Mary, now take the child back, for he who seek the life of the child is dead. Go back. And they brought Jesus back to Israel. Herod died. His son, Herod the Tetrarch, came to power. That's Matthew chapter 14. And when Satan found out that the lineage of these evil rulers is a good institution to be used as a tool to destroy God's program and agenda. That same Saul that kills those little children was still hanging and waving around. And on a particular day, he got so happy. The son got so happy who came in place of the father and was celebrating, doing some party. And the Bible says, through the evil influence of one of the ladies in the palace, demanded for the head of John the Baptist. So the same soul that was going through. When you read through, you come to Acts of the Apostles chapter 12. It sees the same Herod who got so happy and excited, got James and killed James. And the Bible says they were happy. And when he saw that they were happy, he went after Peter and arrested Peter and kept Peter in the inner prison with 16 bodyguards from the gate to the inner chamber, then to the to the secret place where Peter also was chained to the wall. The only grace period Peter had was that it was a season of festival, and he was waiting for that festival to be over so that he would bring Peter out publicly to be executed. But something happened. The Bible said the church came together to pray. Because you see, if the church will not arise to pray, that same Saul will be ruling from one generation to another. The church prayed. They prayed for Peter. What the devil was fighting was the reformation that was ushered from heaven, from Pentecost, and was ushered into the world. If it is possible, let me destroy these apostles, because they are the chief apostles, so that this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will not move further, so that the light will be destroyed. And the church came together, they began to pray. They were fighting for the soul of Peter, but they were also fighting for the destiny of God's prophetic agenda for the nation of the world. That single prayer they were praying for the release, for God's divine intervention, and also for the release of Peter. And when they were doing that, the Bible said, suddenly, one of the warring angels came battle ready. Zoom. Walked through the gate unhindered. Went into the inner court unhindered. Stepped into the back hall where Peter was kept unhindered. And the Bible says, even at that, Peter was sleeping. Somebody that should be executed the next day. I can't imagine the level of peace he had on chain. Read the scripture very well. His clothes, his apparel were taken from him. He was there naked on the floor. Leg chained, hand chained. He was sleeping. And the Bible says the angel tapped him, "Peter, rise." And Peter woke up. And when he woke up, he said, "Put on your clothes, put on your shoes." Immediately Peter woke up, the chain got loose on its own accord. And he began to walk through. Don't you forget that while in that inner prison, there are also two bodyguards that were with Peter. Right? They were there standing, but they could not do anything. Why? Because when the higher power come in contact with the lesser power will bow. So they walked through. And when they walked through, they came out of the gate. Yet, the bodyguards told, and they were still, not knowing what was happening. And Herod, the following day, wanted to make a big party. And then asked that Peter should be brought forth. Lo and behold, he opened the prison door. It was empty. What has happened? They couldn't find Peter. Meanwhile, the angels led Peter to the house of one of the very good sisters where they were praying in her house. And Peter began to knock at the gate. Open, open, open. And one little young girl called Rhoda came out and saw that it was Peter. She was excited. She ran in again. Peter is at the gate. He said, shh, that can be true. Now, you can imagine somebody is praying for the deliverance of his fellow brothers. And when the miracle happens, they still don't believe. It's amazing. They still didn't believe. And Peter kept knocking. Meanwhile, the angel had left. Peter kept knocking. And eventually, they came, saw it was Peter. Oh, this is interesting. They brought Peter in. Peter said, listen, God sent his angel to deliver me. That's why I'm here. But listen, I can't stay here because that wicked king will send his army on surveillance to trap me. If they still get me here, I will not be spared. So I have to go. Keep praying. And Peter left. The Bible says Herod had to bring all the guards together and destroy them. And on the very fateful day, he was giving his speech and refused to give God the glory. Read your Bible very well. The Bible says the angel of the Lord slapped him. In an instant, Herod died and was eaten up by maggot. I have to go all the way to tell us this, that what we are doing here is a wrestle. It's a fight for the prophetic destiny of America. It's a fight for the soul of this man called America. When we pray, that's the way I see. It's a fight to rescue America from the rulership of the evil oligarchy that had been running through to make sure America does not enter into her prophetic destiny. America has a prophetic destiny. There's a glory that is given. But the enemy is fighting this glory to make sure he does not appear. Herod was an institution Satan used against God's reformation, against God's program. But thank God that God can depend on a few faithful that can cry out to God. And the Bible says, when Herod was slain, there was peace. There was peace. Can I tell us something? The hand of the Lord is coming over America. They that trouble America, the Lord God will trouble them. There are some who have said as long as they are alive, they make sure that America will not enter into her prophetic destiny. But I have good news for them. They also will not live to see that glory. When Satan is at work and is operating through witchcraft, what witchcraft does is to intimidate, is to harass, and then to put men in captivity. You see, because witchcraft operates through the spirit of divination. They can also read through from the past into the present. But they don't have power over the future, because it's only God that has power over the future. And so what they do when they are fighting to make sure that a nation or an individual don't enter into their prophetic destiny, they harass the individual. They intimidate the individual. And if it is possible, they kill the individual. And then hold back what God is supposed to do for a season, except the Lord breaks through. Now, as you read the scriptures, when you read 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible talks about Elijah. When he was harassed, intimidated, and frustrated by one little girl called Jezebel. On the physical, but Jezebel was a spirit. Don't you forget that. That lady was operating under a heavy influence of demonic powers. After a mega show at Mount Carmel, the Bible tells us that Jezebel sent a message to Elijah that the same way the head of those prophets rose, the same way your head is going to roll. And that fear gripped Elijah. Listen, let me tell us this. Fear is a spirit. Fear is one of the greatest weapons in the hand of Satan. Fear is an entity, is a personality. And so, for Satan to strike in any of his major attacks, the first thing he releases is a spirit of fear. Most especially for against believers. If you are not strong enough to resist and repel whatever intimidations fear brings your way, it will cripple your faith. And immediately your faith is crippled, it takes over you. Oh, this is going to happen? The fear of the unknown. The fear of what will happen. Satan releases fear as a weapon against the faith of believers. Elijah, I wonder, the same man of God who stood on the mountain top to pray and ask God to release fire from heaven, I would have expected Elijah to send back to Jezebel, if you know you are a woman enough, meet me at this mountain. That was what I expected Elijah to do. He never did that. But what he did supposed to run. Don't you forget, Elijah was not just dealing with a physical being. What came against him was a spiritual entity. The Bible says Elijah ran. For 40 days, he went and was hiding in a cave. And when God got ready to move, the Bible said this. After every other thing that happened on the mountain, the Lord, the still small voice came to Elijah. He said, as you go, anoint Hazael over Syria. Anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And then you will take my place. Anoint Elisha to take your place. For at 7,000 men who has not bowed the knee to Baal. So you are not the only one. And the Bible said, as Elijah left, Hazael was impacted. Elisha was impacted. But Jehu, who was to become king over Israel, was held back by the witchcraft of Jezebel. The witchcraft of Jezebel held the nation of Israel spellbound for decades. And what the Lord intended to do was to break the power and release the nation into her prophetic destiny. But the vessel God was relying on, when Elijah ran and failed him, was Jehu. And do you know, instead of Jehu becoming king over Israel, Jezebel witchcraft will not allow Jehu. Why? When Ahab died, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, came over the throne. Until Elisha now remembered, I am supposed to have done this because I believe when Elijah was being translated to heaven, it's part of the instruction. Since I can't get Jehu to anoint, you anoint Jehu. And don't you forget, as you read the Bible, that already had taken 11 years when God spoke to Elijah at the mountain. So for 11 years, the destiny of Jehu was held back. Because of one woman called Jezebel, who sat at the seat of Satan to manipulate, to intimidate, to frustrate, and to also stop the move of God. And the Bible said, Elisha called one of the prophets, take this, go anoint Jehu as king over Israel. As you anoint him, run, or else that man is dangerous. The junior prophet went by the instruction of Elisha to anoint Jehu. And immediately he anointed Jehu, he had to run. Because the spirit of might that came upon Jehu was so terrible, he can tear anything on his way. Everything that stands on his way, he will bring them down. And the scripture said, Jehu gathered a few men that were with him and began to ride in a manner that was so ferocious. when he was getting close, Joram, the son of Ahab, and Ahaziah, the king of Judah, these were two evil kings also that were part of the occultic witchcraft that were dealing with the destiny of Israel. It's amazing to see how God brought them together on the same day. Listen, can I tell us something? The victory God is going to record through this meeting is going to be eternal. It's going to be eternal. The two heads, when I was studying the scriptures, this was what came to me. The two heads that are troublers of this nation, Hillary, Obama, and Soros, the hand of the Lord is coming on them. Ahaziah, the king of Judah, Jerome, the king of Israel, were busy discussing. And lo and behold, Jehu was coming, riding in the spirit of might. And Jerome sent one of his servants, "This guy coming is driving like a madman. He's driving like Jehu. Go find out. Is there peace with Jehu?" And the servant rode, went through to meet with Jehu. "My king sent me. Are you coming with peace?" Jehu said, "Follow me." And the servant followed Jehu. And then Joram sent another servant again to go find out from afar if there is peace with Jehu as he's coming to see the king. When he got to Jehu with the same message, Jehu said, "Follow me." And both of them rode through. And when they got close, and the king discovered that this was Jehu, that this man coming is not for peace, the Bible said he went into his chariot to run. And Jehu drew the bow as an archer and shot through. The arrow came through his back, through his chest. He collapsed in the chariot and died. That was a righteous judgment from God. He says, when judgment is not evil, when judgment is not speedily executed on evildoers, it says the wicked will continue in their wickedness. But there's a day of reckoning. Are you hearing me? There's a day of reckoning. That was a day of reckoning for him. That was a day of judgment. And Jehu ordered that his servants run after Ahaziah, the king of Judah, and they were caught. He was also caught short. Now, what I want us to understand, Jesus as the world. You read Isaiah chapter 61. This is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor, to open the prison door, to loose those who are in captivity. Right? When you read through to verse 3, at the tail end of verse 3, the scripture says that he will also declare the acceptable years of the Lord and the day of the judgment of our God. Are you all listening?
Yes.
That is one. In Matthew chapter 4, When Jesus came to the temple, the Bible says the same scroll was handed over to him. And he read the same thing. But he never read the last part of that verse 3. Because it was in time. But the good news is that we are the generation that will not only declare the acceptable years of the Lord, but will also declare the day of the judgment of our God. For the scripture says, it is a righteous thing with God to retribute judgment to those who persecute us unjustly. Unjustly. Why do I have to go all the way to share all of this with us? Tonight, God is going to do two things. Two things. As we are going to be praying, angels will be deployed. When Mama was sharing vision of those guys walking through in white apparel with a golden breastplate and a golden sword, I was so excited. And with a flame on the sword. Hear me, guys. They are here for business. They are here for business. When we pray, we activate them into action. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth none. What that means is that the constant prayer of the righteous prevails. When we pray and pray the will of God, God will move into action. Because that is His word. And as long as we stand on the authority of the world, God cannot but move. Are you hearing me? And so when we pray, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask, it shall be given. Seek, it shall be found. Knock, and the door shall be opened. You know, what that means is that, it says, this three level of prayer should be done constantly. When you ask and you have not received, it says, begin to seek. And when you seek and you have not found, it says, begin to knock. Daniel stood from the 1 to the 21 until the answer came. And so, I can imagine if Daniel left his place of effectiveness in prayer, the answer wouldn't have come. But because he persisted, because he stood on his watch. And so when you ask, there's another dimension to asking. Seek. And when you seek, there's another dimension to seeking. He said, knock. When it comes to the place of knocking, heavens will open. That's what Jesus said we should do. And not give up at the place where we started from. I thank God that the gathering of eagles have come through, spanning through, almost through to 2 decades now. And each year, the army of the Lord keep pressing in. Each year, the army of the Lord keep fighting through. Each year, constantly, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. One of the things that plunder the gates of hell is intercession. Satan is afraid of intercession. Every true intercessor is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And when they stand upon their watch, they shake the kingdom of hell. And when they arise, anywhere they appear, Satan is afraid. Are you hearing me? The second thing that plunder the gates of hell is evangelism. When men will arise and put on the whole armor of God to step through before the gate of hell, they plunder the gates of hell and rescue the lost souls. Now listen, these two formidable forces work together. Without the effective intercession, evangelism can never be effective. So God uses intercessors to release the army into the field for the harvest. And that is what we are doing here. That within this meeting, the God of heaven, who watches over America, who loves America, who sees America as a tool in his hand to the nations of the world, the God who watches over the gathering, the God who sometimes comes in as a mighty eagle to spread his wing over his people, he's interested in what is going to happen here tonight. That men will be released from every satanic witchcraft. Whatever is the bondage that has stopped you entering into your destiny, there is power in the house tonight to break the bondage, to release you, to make you enter into the fullness of your destiny. There's also power in the house to release the nation of America from every covering of witchcraft. And what the angels will do here tonight, as we pray his will, they will be released into the battle arena. Oh, it's so interesting to see how they fight. Very swift. They can move swifter than the speed of light to do whatever that is needed to be done. Let me share this with us. A young man, very brilliant young man, has studied to the age of a professor, to the class of a professor, and had a good job and was doing very well. And then suddenly the enemy struck. He came into America at a very tender age. Had a good job. Had everything to make him live well. And all of a sudden, he gathered his property. The few things he had, locked up his room, left his family here, and then went back to Africa. This happened in Nigeria. And then when he got back to Nigeria, he now realized, why do I have to come? Do you know why? He was remotely controlled by witchcraft. From his background, he came over to Nigeria and life became miserable. He couldn't come back to America. They took his sense of what? Took his sense of direction. He was living in a very terrible condition. Now he couldn't go back. Everywhere he seek for job, a professor, they couldn't give him a job. The government in Nigeria could not give him a job. And so he began to live in abject poverty. A gathering like this was going on somewhere. And while he was just, you know, walking through, he came into that gathering. And prayers were being offered that people should cry to God for the Lord to intervene in whatever the enemy has done to distort their life and destiny. And then he was praying. He joined them, he began to pray. And while he was praying, something happened. As he stood where he was praying, "Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, show me mercy. Oh God, help me. Lord, restore back to me my destiny. Lord, give me back my glory. I don't know what I've tempered with my glory. Show me mercy." He was praying and crying and weeping. And then suddenly, somebody tapped him at the back. And he looked. Who tapped him? And the guy only said one word. He said, "Follow me." And then he followed him. And when he followed him, this was a true life story. He followed him. They moved in the spirit. And the guy took him to a burial ground, a grave site. And they came to a particular gravesite. And the guy who brought him there now spoke to the grave. He said, "Agnes, come forth." And then one elderly old woman came forth. Agnes was his grandmother, who died and was buried. When God wants to do something, it's mysterious. Agnes was buried. When Agnes died, this same man was in America here. But by virtue of witchcraft cult, they have taken the glory of this young man. And in their witchcraft court, they have also decided that this man, he will grow to a particular age, and then everything about him will begin to crumble. And then she took the glory, died, and went to the grave with the glory. So the angel of the Lord called this young man to where the grandmother was buried, even when he was not around when the grandmother was buried. And the man who brought him there said, "Give him back what he stole from him years ago." And the woman said, "This was not our agreement. Our agreement is that this man should die in abject poverty, and nothing good about him should show forth. So give it to him." And the woman stretched forth her hand and gave it back to his grandson. And he said, "Let's go." He commanded her back to go back to hell. And then he said, "Let's go." And then they went, came back to where the prayer was being offered. What transpired was that while they were praying, the angel of the Lord was released on an assignment to deliver this young man, to break the stronghold of witchcraft that has held him bound, and with his glory that were taken from him. Oh, you want to talk about witchcraft? Please come to Africa. We fight that every day. And we know what it is. We're not afraid of them. And so, in fact, as a matter of fact, the greater one that lives in us is greater than every witch in the world. That was how the glory of this young man was restored. And I believe tonight, two things God is going to do. Anyone that has been going through witchcraft classes, spell, tonight in this hall, the Lord is going to break it. And then secondly, whatever witchcraft that has been working in alignment with any other forces against God's prophetic agenda for the nation of America, as we pray together tonight, God is going to tear up the veil and release the nation to fulfill her agenda. One of the greatest things that has happened to this nation is President Trump. The same way the Lord breathed upon you to pray, to move him here to where he is right now, we're going to pray tonight that the same way God will breathe upon you the upcoming election. I thank God for Trump. Thank God for his humility. Thank God that he will call brethren together, ministers of the gospel together, to tell them, if you don't pray, what the enemy is planning ahead is terrible. And you need me to be there to scatter their plans. So, as we pray, angels will move. They will be deployed. The same way Mama saw them coming in with their sword, they are battle ready. And as long as we pray the will of the Father, I see them moving into action. Are we ready to pray? Are we ready to pray? Let's rise up to our feet.